The following podcast is provided to you free, as is all our content, at drhoffman.com. If you'd like to listen, help support Intelligent Medicine, and get great values by shopping at our supplement store, go to drhoffman.com and click on Shop, then click on the store. Thanks, and enjoy the podcast.
Welcome to another edition of Layla Weighs In on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I thank you for sending me questions. I look forward to reading your questions, to answering many of your questions, as long as I deem they're appropriate for this Intelligent Medicine Podcast. So, for any of you who would like to email your questions to me, email to radioprogram@aol.com. Got a question from Terry. Terry writes, Dear Layla, like most people, I began the new year on a diet. Hey, everybody. That's probably everybody's number one New Year's resolution among other behavior changes. So, Terry, congratulations on making a resolution. She's begun a diet on the new year. Terry continues, My goal is to lose 15 pounds. I'm using an ultra-low-carb diet. I'm eating mostly eggs, smoked salmon, sprouted salad, dressed with lemon and olive oil, and also drinking a lot of water along with taking a multi-mineral supplement. So far, I've lost 5 pounds. Yay, Terry! Terrific. I use keto sticks to test my urine, and now it has become a dark purple, which is great. Typically, the ketosis sticks are used by a lot of people to test their urine to know if they're in ketosis or not. That could be very, very gratifying for those of you embarking on a low-carb diet to see with your own eyes on paper, or at least that stick, that you are indeed in a fat-burning metabolism. Terry goes on, I've been taking long walks of four-plus miles on most days. I'm also taking all the supplements that you and Dr. Hoffman recommend. Wonderful. Terry writes, my question relates to my feeling of some weakness and lethargy recently. I've read about something called the Atkins flu or ketosis flu on the internet, which advised to add more healthy fat to the diet. Accordingly, I've added more egg yolks and butter and coconut oil to my diet. This seems to make me feel better. Could you please discuss the Atkins flu and any advice you may have? Thanks. Terry, thank you very, very much for your question. And thank you for writing me. And as many of you listeners may know, maybe many of you don't know, when I first began my nutrition and dietetics career, I went to work for the late Dr. Robert Atkins. This was back in 2003 before he passed away. So my education was amazing and still continues to be amazing. So one of the things about administering the Atkins diet that many people report, they're thrilled that they're losing weight and all of that. But in the beginning, there is this quote, it's been called ketosis flu, Atkins flu. What it really is number one, it's withdrawal from carbohydrates. So the first thing you're experiencing, if you were already on a high-carb diet, now you're embarking on a very low-carb diet, and it's like a 180-degree change from how you used to eat, you're going to feel some significant carbohydrate withdrawal. That may present itself in much more cravings, intense cravings, for the sugar and the carbs that you are missing. This feeling does pass after 3 days, 4 days, even a week. The other thing that may happen during this time, as you shift from a primarily blood sugar burning metabolism to a fat burning metabolism, your body undergo this shift in metabolism can feel kind of like a slowdown, a fatigue, a flu. It's part of the detox. It's a little bit of a detox reaction, but it's not like you're doing a detox or a cleanse, right? This shift in your metabolism, it's a little bit of a bump in between the change from a blood sugar burning metabolism, pardon me, to a fat burning metabolism. So as you undergo this change, your metabolism has to shift and start to use fat as its primary fuel. You've probably heard me say before that fat really is our primary fuel. But when we eat carbohydrates, our body will prefer the carbohydrates we're eating to use as energy and then to store as fat. This so-called ketosis flu that you're feeling, Terry, and anybody else who's embarking on this, it occurs after about 2, maybe 3 days into the diet, into the low-carb diet. What we're experiencing, it takes about 48 hours to deplete your current glycogen stores. Those are your stores of energy, your carbohydrate energy. And once you've depleted them, you shift to a fat-burning metabolism. So what you're actually experiencing is, I've got an empty gas tank. Because we as human beings are used to having some glycogen present. For our Stone Age ancestors in prehistoric times, that was present in case they needed to sprint away from a predator. In our life and times, it's in case we need to sprint to the next meeting, to the next train, or to the next bus, or something like that. Or sprint to the doctor's office if we're running late. So, that feeling of your gas tank is empty can feel like you're literally out of gas, but manifests itself as fatigue. You might have some headache, although headache has more to do with carbohydrate withdrawal than anything. And the advice is to add some more fat to the diet in an effort for your body to use that fat to burn it as fuel. Now, another thing that's happening as your body is shifting from a glucose-burning metabolism to a fat and ketone-burning metabolism. Ketones, you know, are the byproduct of lipolysis, which is a fat-burning metabolism. The other thing that's happening during this shift is you're shedding a lot of excess water. When we're storing glycogen or we're storing carbohydrate, we're storing also excess water. You may notice when you look in the mirror after the first week of being on a very low-carb diet that any puffiness that may have been present on your body, but especially your face, you may notice that it's suddenly gone. This dehydration that happens in the beginning of a very low-carb diet is really step one, and it's part of the, quote, ketosis flu that you're experiencing. Dehydration doesn't feel good. You're shedding this excess water that your body has been holding on to in the presence of eating more carbohydrates than has been necessary. So now your body is shedding it. Good news for those with borderline blood pressure or even high blood pressure who are currently taking medication. This dehydrating effect will also lower your blood pressure because that excess fluid is also in our circulation, which increases our blood volume, right? And that can cause high blood pressure. But by undergoing this dehydrating effect of a very low-carb diet, blood sugar tends to normalize. I can't tell you, even since my days of working with Dr. Atkins, there are so many patients who have been able, with their physician's supervision, they have been able to reduce the dosage of their blood pressure medications or come off their blood pressure medications completely. And for those who are borderline, they're no longer borderline. They're in a good, healthy blood pressure. A good, healthy blood pressure may be defined as 115 over 75. That would probably be ideal, or 110 over 70, right? Because 120 over 80 is really where pre-hypertension may begin, according to current guidelines. So anyhow, this dehydrating effect, how do we counteract that? Well, Terry, you're doing the right thing. You're drinking plenty of water. But another thing you should be doing is maybe having some consomme or some broth, a nice salty broth available. Now, don't add more salt than is usually in a broth, right? That's plenty of salt for you right there. If you're creating your own stock or your own broth from scratch, add some salt, obviously, to taste. Have this broth available for you to sip. You can sip a couple of mugs of broth a day, maybe even four or five if need be. Another way to get your salt, because, you know, salt will help us to retain a little water to keep this from having a very dehydrating effect. And that dehydrating effect of a low-carb diet only goes so far. However, it is important that you maintain at least consuming 8 8-ounce cups of water a day. This is important. Salty broth is very, very helpful for this ketosis flu that you're experiencing. So have that handy. And if that's not, you know, if that's not convenient for you, get some V8 juice. I think even the low sodium V8 juice will have enough sodium to help you, and it's got loads of potassium as well. Because when we're undergoing a dehydrating effect from a low carb diet, we are losing some electrolytes. So be sure to replace them. A salty broth, a cup of V8, whether it's regular or low sodium would be fine. You might even take something like tri-salt, but it's really the sodium we're after in the beginning anyway. Another thing that you can do to help your body shift from the blood sugar burning metabolism to a fat burning metabolism is the addition of certain nutrients. L-carnitine is specific and it's very, very helpful. What L-carnitine does, it's an amino acid, and it's an amino acid found primarily in meat, so you're getting some on a low-carb diet. But taking a supplement is very, very helpful for ushering those fatty acids that are breaking down from your fat-burning metabolism. What carnitine does is it ushers them into the mitochondria of the cell. The mitochondria are the furnaces, are the powerhouses of all of our cells, and they are responsible for the burning of fat to use as energy. What happens now that you're on a low-carb diet is you will actually create more mitochondria in your cells, and any existing mitochondria that you have will become bigger. And as we already know, as scientists, as biochemists, when we're in a blood sugar burning metabolism, we're only creating so much energy, 36, maybe 38 ATP. ATP is our energy currency. But when we're in a fat burning metabolism, we are creating anywhere between 120 to maybe even up to 140 ATP. So imagine that. Burning fat for energy is so much more efficient. And if you really carry this through and not fall off the low-carb diet and really keep it going, what will happen after you've progressed through the carbohydrate withdrawal, after you've progressed through the so-called ketosis flu or the Atkins flu? One day, maybe 5 days later, maybe a week later, you're going to wake up to a lot more energy. And it's going to be more energy than you've probably ever experienced in your life if you've never done a low-carb diet before. And this is very, very exciting because that energy also presents itself as the cobwebs are clearing from your mind. Along with this energy comes a wonderful mental clarity, a keenness, a sharpness. It's delightful. All the cobwebs have cleared. It's almost like having a low-grade headache that you didn't know you had until it finally goes away. You know, these are things that we've been habituated to. It's like turning on that air conditioner during the first hot day of summer. It's really loud, right? But as the summer goes on, you get used to the sound of that air conditioner and it fades into the background. That's called habituation. We habituate to that sound, so we no longer notice it. But that first fall day when we're turning off the AC and that quiet that occurs, that's what I'm talking about. It's that kind of a clarity or that notice of, ah, that feeling is gone. So, lots to look forward to during your low-carb diet once you have embarked on it. A lot of people make the mistake of going on a low-carb diet and immediately stopping because they think something is wrong or they believe they're causing themselves harm when they feel this ketosis flu. It's simply a shift in your metabolism from a sugar burning, depleting the gas tank of glycogen, and shifting to a fat-burning metabolism. This requires a little bit of effort on the part of your body. You have to be a little bit patient with it. Eating more fat is helpful. Adding carnitine is helpful. And by the way, as you become this extraordinary fat-burning machine and your mitochondria is becoming healthier and bigger and you're creating even more mitochondria in your cells, what's happening is you're in the metabolism of your life, and because you're burning primarily fat all day long, all night long, a lot of toxins are stored in our fat. And I remember, you know, Dr. Atkins always required that you were on a really good multivitamin, multimineral supplement to help with the detoxification of those toxins. Remember, toxins are also obesogens because they're stored in our fat cells. When we're burning fat and depleting our fat stores, those toxins are being released into our body. Another very important reason to eat always very cleanly, organic, grass-fed, all of that. You want to be able to reduce your burden of your exposure to those toxins and be able to flush your system with plenty of water. Okay? Very, very important. So for those of you who have complained of any blood pressure issues, of any fat around the belly, which is a hallmark of insulin resistance, of any puffiness around your face or anything like that, you will begin to feel the merits of your perseverance when you embark on a very low-carb plan. Now, a lot of people think that the Atkins diet is just this one phase. You're on a low-carb diet that requires that you're on 20 or 25 grams or less of carbohydrate per day. This is actually phase one. And in phase one, you're having nary a piece of fruit or even a berry to begin with. But as you begin to go on to the later phases of Atkins, you're introducing fruit, you're introducing nuts and seeds, which contain a little more carbohydrate, you're introducing more vegetables, and you're continuing to lose weight. This phase is also called the critical carbohydrate level for losing, CCLL, critical carbohydrate level for losing. For many people, you can shift up to about 30 to 40 grams of carbohydrate and still continue losing. Your weight loss will not be as great as it is in the beginning. And I should point out to everybody who embarks on a very low-carb diet, in the beginning, because of that dehydration effect, you are losing primarily water up until about day three or four. On day three or four of your very low-carb diet, you are then beginning to shift into that fat-burning metabolism. That's when you may feel the flu, but that flu should be starting to lift. And I would say by day four, day five, day six, your energy will start to not just come back, but come back in full force and maybe come back in a way that you never felt before. I've even heard it reported from low-carb dieters that they don't even require as much sleep as they used to. Let me use myself as an example. I know around special occasions, holidays, if my diet is getting a little more carb-heavy than I normally do, I do tend to require more sleep, so I do find this interesting. But, you know, when I'm back on program, which is 85-90% of the time, I notice the difference in my quality of energy, in the quality of my sleep, which is actually deeper, and in my requirement of that sleep. I do just fine on, you know, the 6.5-7 hours, whereas when we're carb heavy, we may require 8 or 9, and that's a lot. And that's because we're feeling sluggish from all those carbs and the unstable blood sugar that goes along with it. So, Terry, get some nice salty broth going on, drink a mug or two or five of broth a day to make sure you're replacing your electrolytes and your salt. You can take tri-salts. You could take a half a teaspoon once or twice a day of tri-salts. You could find that at the store at drhoffman.com. It's an electrolyte formula. It's used as bicarb, but it's very effective in helping to replace the electrolytes lost with dehydration. It includes calcium, magnesium, and potassium. And always shoot for at least eight ounce cups of water a day, and always be ruled by your thirst. This is in addition to the cups of broth that you're having. And if making a broth or having a broth on hand is not convenient for you, and you know a lot of those ready broths, the add water and stir broths, contain MSG, you don't want to go there. You want to make your own broth. If this is not convenient, get a bottle of V8 juice and have a cup or so a day, 8 ounces or so a day, maybe even 12 ounces. Don't be afraid of the salt shaker, unless you have a salt-sensitive hypertension. Don't be afraid to use a little bit of table salt in your food to taste. Don't overdo it. Don't overdo it. And by the way, being on a low-carb diet, you have really let go of so many sources of high-sodium foods, which are processed foods. Our chips, our snack foods, but especially sliced bread. Terry, thank you very, very much for your question. And I applaud all of you who are embarking on a low-carb diet for the new year. I wish you every success. And I invite you to send me more questions about it. Send them to radioprogram@AOL.com. This is Layla Mutin, nutritionist at the Hoffman Center. This has been another edition of Layla Weighs In on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me, but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.